Diddy has two different homes raided as he is being investigated for sex trafficking, as many of the allegations that have been made about him over the years are now being brought forth legally, as some are making a distinct parallel to what Diddy was doing in the music industry with what Mr. Epstein was doing with so many of the world's elite. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 511 News.
And now to another story that has rocked the music and entertainment world. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security says two raids on properties owned by Sean Diddy Combs are part of an ongoing investigation.
Officials confirm the raid is tied to a sex trafficking investigation.
It really came by surprise. There was no indication that Sean Combs' homes were about to be raided. They took place simultaneously here in L.A. and in Miami. That was to make sure that no one could tell the Miami home you're about to be raided or vice versa. And the fact that these search warrants were able to be in force means that the government did present significant evidence to a judge to issue those warrants, suggesting that key evidence could be found in these homes. Now, the big question is, why are they doing this? Many sources already have indicated to us that this does involve a sex trafficking operation. Is he the target or is he just part of the investigation? There are a number of media reports today saying he is, in fact, the target.
Welcome back to the 511 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to be looking at P. Diddy and some of the allegations that he has been trafficking people and some other weird stuff and voodoo that we're going to get into. But before we do that, make sure to like this video and subscribe to the Good Fight Ministries YouTube channel, as well as leave a 5-star review and even a comment. All of those things that we say that about is simply so that we can get these videos to be seen by more eyes. And we also want to say, if you are looking for any sort of fellowship or looking for even just a live stream to watch maybe after the place your fellowship, you can check out Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, or you can check it out on YouTube as well at Blessed Hope Simi. Now, to get right into this, it's very interesting. We've actually played this on a couple of different shows covering Cat Williams' viral interview with Shannon Sharp. And it's really interesting because it almost seems, whether we're talking about Nickelodeon or P. Diddy, notice that Cat Williams actually mentions P. Diddy by name and says that it's in 2024 that all these things are going to get exposed.
I came in this business saying I was going to expose. When I talked about Michael Jackson, when I talked about R. Kelly, they canceled me for these things because why would you talk about another black dude? Race is not where the line is drawn. It's God's side and the other side. And we don't care nothing about the other side. Period. Period. All of these big deviants is all catching hell in 2024. It's up for all of them. It don't matter if you Diddy or whoever you is, T.G. Jakes, any of them, all lies will be exposed. That's all. And anyone who takes that the wrong way, know why they take it the wrong way. The truth is the light. Satan can't create anything. That includes blessings for his people. That's why, you know what the number one job of somebody that sold their soul in Hollywood is?
What?
Is to act like it didn't happen. They canceled me for talking about Harvey Weinstein before the thing came out, but he offered to suck my in front of all my people at my agency. What am I supposed to do? He did all of that. I'm thinking I'm the only black person on the script. I get there, it's three other black guys on there. Woo! Huh.
So you wonder what they did to get that.
I told him no. What y'all do?
So what are we looking at that is exposing P. Diddy when it comes to this investigation for sex trafficking and so forth? What are they looking for? And really, is it going to be taken to court? And is he going to get caught? And Melba Pearson was on the Law and Crime Network channel explaining not only that she believes that these are all leading to actual charges, but explaining ultimately what they're looking for.
The feds are doing raids at three different homes of P. Diddy, including his homes in California, in Florida, and in New York. And what I think they're looking for are videos. So basically, P. Diddy had a habit, allegedly, based on told to us through the filings by Cassie Ventura. They have all said that P. had a habit of liking to video either him abusing other people or, in, you know, forcing other people to abuse each other for his pleasure, and would record all of that. So I think those are some of the things that the feds are looking for. I think they're looking for other types of evidence to corroborate the statements that were made by Little Rod, by Cassie Ventura, and the other people have come forward saying that he did abuse them. So they're looking for corroborating evidence and the basically the building blocks to put together what will end up being a massive, massive, massive criminal case.
For those who don't know, Cassie Ventura is the ex-girlfriend of P. Diddy, and she actually filed a lawsuit against Puff Daddy or P. Diddy, or however you want to call him, and in that lawsuit said a number of things, and in fact, some of her friends have come out and expressed some of the really gross things that they have seen and heard regarding P. Diddy.
I don't think people understand what it's like to be traumatized by somebody famous and rich, because you can't get away from them.
Tiffany Redd has written for the likes of Zendaya, Jason Derulo, and Jennifer Hudson. In 2015, she became friends with Cassie while writing songs for her album. At that point, Cassie and Diddy had been together for nearly 8 years. In a lawsuit Cassie filed last month, she detailed the abuse she says Diddy committed, including physical assault. Redd says although she did not know about the alleged physical assault while working with Cassie, she did witness verbal abuse on more than one occasion. One of which took place during Cassie's 29th birthday in 2015. Redd says Diddy showed up at karaoke where Cassie and a group of friends were celebrating.
So he had her back into the corner and he was like cussing her out with his hand in her face.
Later that night, Redd, who was staying at Cassie's home, says she awoke to screaming.
Oh, he's standing in the like living room area and she's there. And he was like emotional singing, "Bitch, there you are." And I just was like, oh, he's talking to me. And I remember, like, I don't know if you know what his voice sounds like, but, like, I felt like I was in the presence of his monster inside. And I remember, like, looking in his eyes, and I said to him, what did y'all do? Because I could see that she was, like, really sedated. That was the first time I'd ever seen her, like, high before. And then he says, tell your girl she wants some birthday. And we were like, well, I mean, he's saying this to me, and I'm like, well, she doesn't have to have sex with you if she doesn't want to. He was upset, like, you know, I guess that she didn't want to do with him whatever he wanted. I don't know. I don't feel like I could advocate for myself in that moment. Like, I realized, like, oh, this guy is dangerous.
Redd says it was only a few months ago that Cassie told her what was really going on that night in 2015, that it all stemmed from the music executive wanting her to take part in what he called a freak-off against her will.
What did Cassie tell you about these freak-offs?
You know, that he would hire these, like, sex workers and, like, they would have, you know, sex with her or whatever, and he would watch and tell them what to do.
In her lawsuit, Cassie alleges she was forced to participate in freak-offs throughout her relationship with Diddy. Redd learning recently one horrific detail from Cassie.
She told me the only time he was willing to do anything or work on her music, go through any plans, any of that, was when she had a freak off. So all of our music, all my work, to find out that, like, I spent all these years writing these songs for him to rape my friend to, like, is just disgusting.
In the lawsuit, Cassie detailed the physical abuse she says Diddy committed, including an instance where she was put in a hotel room for days to heal. Redd says Cassie recently told her about Diddy giving her a black eye before the premiere of her 2016 film, The Perfect Match.
I remember one time her telling me that, I think it might have been The Perfect Match, that movie that she was in, and she told me that she had a black eye under her makeup.
Do you believe Diddy is a dangerous person?
Yes, I do.
What's interesting is Melba Pearson also talks about, as well as others from that network, to the fact that a lot of what is going on seemingly, or what they're looking for and so forth, it does parallel something else we've clearly seen before when it comes to seemingly getting a lot of material or images or videos of very powerful people or people that they're grooming to be powerful.
Lil Rod's court docs draw a parallel between Diddy's alleged crimes and Jeffrey Epstein's. Epstein died by suicide back in 2019 when he faced numerous charges of sexual assault over the course of multiple years. His longtime companion, Ghislaine Maxwell, was charged and found guilty of sex trafficking in relation to her time with Epstein. She's currently serving out a lengthy prison sentence. Lil Rod compares Diddy's chief of staff, Christina Cahorum, to Ghislaine Maxwell, saying she ordered sex workers and prostitutes for Mr. Combs and ordered and distributed ecstasy, cocaine, GHB, ketamine, marijuana, and mushrooms to Mr. Combs and his celebrity guests who were present on his rented yacht and in his homes in LA, NYC, and Miami.
And some, even Jesse Waters, has talked about this actually on his show. And one of the things they mention are these freak-off parties, and you even heard that mentioned a little bit earlier, discussing this very thing that P. Diddy would do, and it's not only gross, but it really does seem like a almost like a blackmail operation.
His freak-out parties in attendance were celebrities, politicians, athletes, international dignitaries like British royalty, Prince Harry, and music label executives. Lil Rod claims some of the biggest names in the recording industry sponsored these parties with sex workers, drugs, and underage girls. The CEO of Universal Music, Lucian Grange, is named as a defendant. So is the former CEO of Motown Records, Ethiopia Habibmariam, and others. Lil Rod says hidden cameras were in every room of Diddy's homes. Lil Rod believes that Mr. Combs possesses compromising footage of every person that has attended his freak-off parties and his house parties. Salacious tapes of Hollywood's biggest names, including record CEOs and politicians, doing drugs and cavorting with prostitutes and minors. The complaint argues that these freak-off parties were a business model. Young and up-and-coming talent attended and were promised career opportunities and access to music executives. They were then plied with drugs and alcohol, filmed. Some were blackmailed. There was a quid pro quo, according to the complaint. Lil Rod said not only were these music executives sponsoring these parties, they were handing Diddy large sums of cash that he used to pay for the sex workers and drugs.
And one of the former associates of P. Diddy, none other than Mark Curry, actually expressed the things that he would do to people in order to get dirt on them as he was making them big and offering them money, and ultimately where it led people to feel in taking even deleting themselves.
A person like Mace that comes to Puff that wants a record deal automatically is willing to do anything that he got to do to have that deal because he asked him for a record deal. So then you got to look at it and be like, you know what? You willing to sell your soul for this right here.
And if you're willing to sell your soul, you won't do anything.
You willing to do anything.
You, Mark Curry, like for example,
please.
They might say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you $1 million. I'm going to give you $2 million. I'm going to give you $100 million. But before I do that, I just want to take a couple of pictures with you, with your shirt off. And your pants off too. And then you be like $100 million, shirt and no pants. Okay, that's okay. What they be doing. Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
So then now, here go your $100 million. So then now you sitting there with your girl. She got the diamonds and the fur on, she look good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden you see somebody in the background flashing those pictures in that envelope at you like this, telling you to come in. We need to talk to you. You be like, wow, now you got me by the... You understand?
Yes.
So then that's when a lot of things come in to play too, without me having to speak on other things.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody come to you and say, you know, I'm gonna expose to your people everything that you've done to get this money, you'd be like, yo, man, that'll make you kill yourself.
And sadly enough, one of the other things that Mark Curry talks about is not only these people giving over their souls and so forth, but he actually talks about some of the voodoo that was practiced by Diddy when it came to some of these albums.
Mark Curry, a former Bad Boy rapper and industry insider who is a former Bad Boy recording artist and Sean Puffy Combs ghostwriter, who's behind Puff Daddy's smash hits, Come With Me from the Godzilla soundtrack and Bad Boy for Life, shared his eyewitness account of how the devil was using P. Diddy and was dancing with the devil, utilizing demonic forces to ensure the success of his music and that of the artist he would sign. In Curry's book entitled Dancing with the Devil, How Puff Burned the Bad Boys of Hip Hop, Curry wrote that P. Diddy was instructed to do voodoo rituals over his artist to ensure their musical success, which of course would include artists like Usher, Biggie Smalls, and Justin Bieber.
And now let's talk about that, because, you know, in your book, you talked about pretty much, you know, Biggie, you talked about Tupac, you talked about Mace, and
right.
Suge, a whole bunch of other people. From your perception, how bad was the contract between Biggie and Bad Boy? Like, how much money was he literally being robbed of?
Well, you know, Biggie Smalls had Junior Mafia, mm-hmm. and Biggie Smalls also had a friend, was Undiz. So they were already starting their own record label before Biggie died.
Yes.
You remember, I believe Biggie was getting mm-hmm. into his own Brooklyn Mint, the closing mm-hmm. line and all of that. Mm-hmm. So Biggie was already on his way out the door. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just remember the stories like when Biggie would want money from Puff and like Puff, he would be like, they doing a show, Biggie wouldn't show up to the show until 10 minutes before the show.
Yes.
You understand? And Puff would be like, where's he at? Where's he at? And then that's how he would get his leverage. Like, Biggie knew that Puff needed him. Mm-hmm. Biggie, if you break it down and really look at the situation for what it truly is, Biggie Smalls made Bad Boy. Bad Boy is Biggie Smalls.
You have it on page 105, and you said, in many ways, I was in the same spot as Biggie when he signed with Bad Boy. I was a poor cat who hadn't finished high school, but I had musical talent. Puff was a rich cat with no musical talent, but also with a stable of mostly white advisors and lawyers who taught him how to put voodoo on his artists.
Well, you gotta look at it like this, you know, and I say it best like this.
Okay.
A person like Mace that comes to Puff that wants a record deal automatically is willing to do anything that he gotta do to have that deal, because he asked him for a record deal. So then you gotta look at it and be like, you know what, you willing to sell your soul for this.
And now, one of the things we talk about extensively, in fact, in our video, not only the Devil's Disciples, that we did a live show regarding this very topic of the discipling of Usher and Justin Bieber and so forth, but one of the sad things is to watch Justin Bieber, some of the just horrific things that you kind of see go through his mind when kind of discussing being brought up. And then when you watch videos like this that have gone viral of Justin Bieber as a young boy, and you look at P. Diddy here, and it's almost like the guy's hunting this child.
Justin, you ever seen the movie 48 Hours? Right now, he's having 48 hours with Diddy, him and his boy. They're having the times of their lives, like, you know, where we hanging out and what we doing. We can't really disclose, but it's definitely a 15-year-old's dream. You know, I have been given custody of him. You know, he signed to Usher. I had legal guardianship of Usher when you know, he did his first album. I did Usher's first album. I don't have legal guardianship of him, but for the next 48 hours, he's with me. So, and we're going to go full crazy.
We're going crazy.
And in our video for the Super Bowl that Pastor Joe Schimmel did, discussing whether or not Usher had really sold his soul, so to speak, he actually plays this clip and actually talks you through it, but you'll see some rappers as well as P. Diddy himself doing videos dressed up as a woman.
Here we see P. Diddy, his mentor, drunk and dressed up like a woman, wearing a blouse and lace pants and a woman's wig. P. Diddy has been called out by other rappers like 50 Cent, who calls Diddy fruity, and has posted suggestive photos with P. Diddy and other men and commented on his gay ways. 50 Cent felt that Diddy was actually coming onto him when he asked him if he could take him shopping for some clothes.
I get uncomfortable. Like he said something to me one time, a long time ago, at Chris Lighty's wedding. He told me he'd take me shopping. I looked at him like, what'd you just say? Let me move, man, before I do something. You're going to make me mess up the wedding.
Oh, that's a nice gesture.
Let me get out. No, dude, take me. That's what a guy says to a girl.
The rapper Xzibit had a horrible experience when Diddy invited him to party at a club which unbeknownst to him would end up being a gay bar with men dancing naked and making out.
So then we go to the house, and then, he invited us to the house because he wanted to go to the club afterwards, right? I was like, okay, cool. We go down and get a drink. You know, we sitting there bopping to the music, and then she pointed over the corner. It's two dudes kissing. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, the f*** is this?
Diddy's main ex-bodyguard, Gene Deal, says that Diddy's desire for male prostitutes was more for him than for his girlfriend Cassie, and that he took him several times to gay bathhouses.
I knew I should wait outside a Turkish bath for him. You know what they do in the Turkish baths? That's where a lot of gay men meet. And they all take hot baths together.
And you see, we can look at all of these things, and you see R. Kelly and P. Diddy, and then you see Dan Schneider over there with Nickelodeon, and you could just keep going down the line. Harvey Weinstein. I mean, just going down the line, you see the corruption, and so much of this, it's very interesting, because Paul did tell Timothy that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And ultimately, it's power. All these things are going to be burnt up. And what people want is power over and over again. And they believe money gives them this. And sadly enough, it gives them power over other people. And when it comes to these images and pictures and so forth that we've seen these moguls seemingly grab and take, with a lot of these stories that we're seeing, this blackmail that so many people go through or are happening from evil deeds they've done, the thing is that so many people do need to know, one, first and foremost, as a believer, we do want justice to happen. It is a fact that we need just weights and measures. We need judges and prosecutors that are not just taking deals and bargains and so forth, but that are truly prosecuting that which is happening, which is wicked. But because we do know we live in an evil system, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in the darkness in the heavenly realms, and because we know quite clearly that Satan works through the sons of disobedience, and he will definitely use people in high places so that they can corrupt and be unjust. We recognize that. But I think it's something that even believers can forget is the fact that God will avenge them. We can't get to a place where, because lawlessness is increasing, our love grows cold. Jesus warned that this would happen, and he tells us not to allow our love to grow cold even when we see lawlessness increasing. But also, Paul wrote about this in Romans, the 12th chapter. He puts it like this. Says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible. So as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The truth is so many of these tactics used by, whether it's Epstein or Diddy or anyone else, so many of these tactics that are used are because of the shame of sin when it's put in video and you see it in full display. And the truth is that for anyone who would come to Christ, and Paul says this in 1 Timothy, he says that this is a trustworthy statement that should be accepted by all, that Christ saved me, the chief of sinners. And what was the goal of Christ saving Paul, who had done wicked things, who had put to death Christians and tried to ultimately come after Jesus through his body by killing them and mowing them down? And it was Paul who said that God saved me so that, guess what? You can be saved as well. All who come to him, he says, I will not cast out. All who are weary and heavy laden, he will give you rest for your souls. He took upon him the shame, the sin, everything he took upon him. And now we cast our anxieties and our cares upon him because he cares for us. He paid in full all the crimes that we have committed. He had paid the ransom that was due. And guess what? And he gets his bride. And so anyone that has done shameful acts, whether on video or not, God sees them anyways. And the truth is, if you turn to him and put your trust in him, if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you confess with your heart Jesus as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, you shall be delivered. You shall be saved. We look today, as we look forward to the resurrection, not only our ultimate resurrection, where we will be with him forever, as we put on the helmet of salvation, knowing we're going to be with Jesus, but we look at the resurrection, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. This wasn't done in private. This wasn't a secret. This was something done publicly. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Luke actually says that Jesus spent 40 days giving many convincing proofs of his resurrection. That's somebody who wants us to know the truth. And you can know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Take your eyes off the world. Don't expect the world to get the justice that is deserved them, but put your eyes upon Jesus, knowing that he has taken our sins upon him. And on the day of judgment, God will not see you for the sins you've committed, but he will see paid in full Jesus Christ. We've put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and guess what? We'll be able to go in freely into the kingdom of God, specifically because Jesus has died for our sins. This has been Chad Davidson. This is the 511 News.
The 511 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.